have more inmates volunteering to do this work than they're able to accommodate, in part because it is meaningful work. They can see what they accomplish at the end. They do get some experience on small hand tools and working as a team.
Any other discussion from council? Anyone wish to testify on council calendar item 965? All right, this is an emergency. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fish?
Oh, am I now? I have to get used to. What's the
Fritz.
New order?
It's Saltzman.
I used
Leonard.
To go first. Okay.
Fish and then, not Fritz and then Fish.
That's me.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions. And with the information that I have, I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fish?
Amanda and I are often confused. I just wanted to be clear that but under the new sequence, I used to vote first. Now I think I'm fourth, so delighted. Aye.
Adams.
Great work. Thank you. Aye. 965 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 966?
Amend contract with Stacy and Whitbeck, Inc. for advanced procurement of rail and special track work material for the Portland Streetcar Loop Project.
Mr. Jones, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Welcome to the City Council. What are we looking at here?
First, I'm Greg Jones with the Portland Office of Transportation. I'm sitting in for Vicki Deedy, who's the project manager for Portland Streetcar. This is one of the four advanced contracts as a part of the East Side Streetcar Loop Project. And this would amend Stacy Whitbeck's overall CMGC contract to allow for the purchase of the rail and special track work, which has a long lead time of approximately 6 months. So this ordinance would approve that contract amendment, allowing Stacy Whitbeck to move forward with the rail purchase.
Questions from council? Anyone wishes to testify on emergency ordinance 966? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 966 is approved. Can you please read the titles for both emergency ordinance 967 and purchasing report 974?
967, authorize a contract with Oregon Ironworks, Inc. for the production and delivery of 6 Portland Streetcar vehicles and provide for payment. 974, award a contract to Oregon Ironworks, Inc. for the purchase of 6 streetcar vehicles for the Bureau of Transportation not to exceed $19,998,000.
Well, today we once again are advancing our role as leaders in green jobs and green transportation. And we are advancing on a contract for 6 streetcar vehicles to be manufactured by Clackamas's own Oregon Ironworks. This $20 million contract is funded by state lottery dollars allocated in the 2007 legislative session. And this contract represents an historic day for Portland manufacturing, Portland area manufacturing, the first full order of modern streetcars to be built in the United States by a U.S.-owned company since 1952. Today, we are putting people to work. We are building a green streetcar option. The City of Portland has issued a letter of no prejudice yesterday. I'm sorry, we were issued a letter of no prejudice yesterday by the Federal Transit Administration, removing any conditions on the rail procurement, adding to the momentum of the project, and we just approved that. I want to thank a number of people, Chandra Brown and Oregon Ironworks, who you're going to hear from in a minute, for their willingness to take a risk on this new business venture. I want to thank Senator Rick Metzger, who you'll also hear in a few minutes, for his support of this effort and his tireless support for transportation. Also, Chair Lynn Peterson from Clackamas County, who you'll hear from, and Hank Ashforth. We also have a congressional delegation who has absolutely been instrumental in making this happen. Want to underscore Senator Jeff Merkley, who then Speaker of the House, and then as a U.S. Senator, helped get through funding for various aspects of this project. Mary Nolan, who was co-chair of Ways and Means, I also want to note the thanks for Senator, U.S. Secretary of Transportation, Ray LaHood, who I was able to meet with in Washington, D.C., the first transportation commissioner I've been able to meet with since I've been transportation commissioner. And he said, Portland is the transportation capital of America, the green capital of America, the streetcar capital of America, and the livable community capital of America. This helps reinforce that. Jeff or Greg, who's going first?
I'll go first. Okay. So again, Greg Jones, Portland Office of Transportation. So before you is the ordinance to authorize contract with the Oregon Iron Works for the reduction and delivery of 6 streetcar vehicles and provide for the payment for those vehicles. This ordinance resulted from a RFP process that led to the selection of Oregon Iron Works as the contractor. And we have just passed previously an IGA with the state of Oregon to provide for the funding for the $20 million for the streetcar purchase. Jeff?
And I'm Jeff Barron with the Bureau of Purchases. And just real quickly, as Greg noted, we did a competitive selection process. We issued a request for qualifications followed by a request for proposal. Oregon Iron Works was the selected contractor, and we're here before you to recommend awarding that contract. So if there are any questions I can answer, I'd be glad to.
Questions or discussion from council? All right, then thank you. We've got some invited testifiers. If we could add one more chair at the dais, could Senator Rick Metzger please come forward, Clackamas County Chair Lynn Peterson, Chandra Brown, and Hank Ashworth. Thank you very much. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
How are you?
Excellent. How are all you?
Good. Congratulations on a successful session. We're glad that you're here.
A lot of people are glad that we're done.
please tell us your thoughts on this matter.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. Good to see you all. It's a pleasure being here. I'm Rick Metzger, State Senator, District 26, Chair of Senate Transportation. Back in 2007, the legislation was initiated, as you just mentioned, that has culminated in what really is a historic day today, not only for Portland, but certainly for the country. It was very pleasurable to be with Secretary LaHood last week, where he made those comments, and it's always nice to be recognized for leadership in transportation, and certainly Portland and the state of Oregon are continuing to move in that direction. Not only does this help from the economic standpoint, but it also is going to, I believe, you know, set a standard that people will continue to look to this city and to this state as we continue to work at reducing carbon emissions and providing transportation alternatives and building livable communities. And it was that in 2007 that in our committee that we placed that $20 million for what we would hope to be not only an advancement of this technology, but also the fervent hope that it would actually grow Oregon businesses. And that has culminated in the ordinances that are before you today. It's just a great pleasure to continue our partnership from the state with the city on being a leader in transportation. And thank you for the opportunity to come before you today.
Well, at the time that this decision had to be made, you and it's only continued, you had a lot of competing priorities to try to address. And I just want to express on behalf of the City Council your the guts that it and the difficulty, the guts that you've definitely acted upon in that very difficult situation to help make this happen. It wouldn't have happened without you. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Chair Peterson.
Good welcome. Morning. Morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Chair Lynn Peterson, Clackamas County. I just want to recognize the historic moment. A lot of us have the opportunity of going around the nation to talk about the history of transportation land use planning in Portland and the region. And a lot of the key moments happened in this chamber, the transit mall decision, the removal of and replacement of the highway with Tahmacall Waterfront. And today, this will be part of that story. It will be part of the story in terms of the partnerships that it took to make this happen, because every place is unique and it takes a lot of people to bring it all together. And it's also unique in the fact that Clackamas County is now part of that story in terms of the manufacturing base that we have in Clackamas and how we're integrated now into the system and the work that we're doing together. But it's also historic in the fact that This is economic development at its finest. Not only is it the Oregon way of land use planning and transportation, but it's also the Oregon way of make it here, make it work, and make it special. So with that, I just want to say thank you for all of your partnerships, and including the business sector who has helped make this happen.
And this really underscores the regional approach that we've taken to getting Portlanders and folks in the Portland area back to work, and couldn't come at a better time given we have the second highest unemployment rate for the region of any region in the United States. So thank you for your partnership on this.
Yes, thank you.
Ms. Brown.
Mayor Adams and Commissioner, it is an absolute pleasure to be here today. I can't tell you how long I've waited for this moment to sit in front of you and say thank you. Thank you on behalf of Oregon Iron Works, our over 300 employees who will be working on building this. And it's a fantastic historic occasion, but I really wanted to emphasize it's not just about Oregon Iron Works. What we are truly doing and what the city of Portland has absolutely led in terms of the streetcar effort is creating an industry. An industry isn't about any one company. We have vendors in 20 states around the United States, and we have tons of companies right here in the Portland metro region who we are helping employ their folks. We're creating new products for them, and they are all involved in this streetcar. So when we had Secretary LaHood last week, Mayor Adams took all my favorite quotes from him, which is that this is the streetcar capital. And I just want to say it's incredible what has happened. And what we are also doing, thanks again to your leadership and this first production contract, which is so critical as we launch this entire business, we now have won an order for Tucson. So not only are we going to be doing cars for Portland, we're going to be hopefully... we're going to be hiring hundreds, literally, of people that can work on the streetcar. And if this takes off around the United States, we expect this to be the streetcar hub and creating jobs, luring other companies here as we create an entire cluster around this transportation unit. So thank you very much on behalf of all of us as we continue to try to keep our folks employed, we continue to try to hire, and we, most importantly, keep a green manufacturing base here in this region, which we think is critical to the whole United States. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Ashforth, most people don't, I think it's often sort of missed that there are millions of dollars in private sector investment in the East Side Streetcar Loop, and as chair of the Portland Streetcar Loop Advisory Committee, you helped secure those. We're very grateful for that, and I know you've been looking forward to this day for some time as well.
No question. Hank Ashforth here as vice chair of Portland Streetcar Inc. and chairman of the East Side Streetcar Loop organization that has, yes, put 7 years into today. I know you and others here in Portland have put multiple more time and years into this day. But obviously, further thanks to where we stand today. Thanks to this, to you personally, Mayor Adams, and the City Council. But I think what this really celebrates, and was mentioned before, is the public-private partnership that is oft-used words here that maybe divide or separate Portland. But this truly is one that works, and it involves the state. It involves the city. It involves the region. It involves the local employers here and the jobs that will be created by this. It involves the landowners and the stakeholders in the neighborhoods that have helped devise the routing of this streetcar system. It totally works, and it was created here. It is going to be duplicated in many more cities, we hope, across this country. The first six cars is a major, major step forward. And we thank you very much and look forward to Tucson, Salt Lake, Seattle, where else? Boise.
She knows them by heart.
There are many other cities out there. This is an historic day, and thank you very much.
Thank you for your leadership, Hank. Thank you all very much. Does anyone else, do we have anyone else signed up to testify on either of these?
No one else signed up.
Anyone wishes to testify on either council calendar item 967 or 974? If not, Carla, would you please call the roll on 967?
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate Chair Peterson's remarks and putting this sort of in the historical context of it was decisions in here that led to the Transit Mall, to the elimination of the Harbor Drive, and today, this culminates in the launching of a new industry for our city and our region. So this, I appreciate that context. I also think it's ironic that as Detroit and Michigan, with the highest unemployment rate, and us with the second highest unemployment rate in the country, while they seek to revive the auto industry, we seek to revive an industry that has long since been put underneath asphalt and roadways, the streetcar system that once was so vital in this country and in this city. And so we seek to not just revive an old industry, but to develop a whole new industry here. And I think that really is the way that Oregon will combat its unemployment rate and help put people back to work is something like this. Streetcar manufacturing sounds like the vendors are great, and it sounds like the potential customer list is even more impressive. And I appreciate the leadership of Mayor Adams to jumpstart this, to and the U.S. government and the state for allowing us to place the first order. First order is probably always the toughest, and many more will come from this. And it really is, I think, a great example of Portland and its commitment to sustainability, providing an alternative to people to get around town, alternative to an automobile, but at the same time helping to grow an industry here that will provide good-paying blue-collar jobs. And that's something we certainly need in this state right now. So, again, thanks to Mayor Adams and everybody else. And also, I just can't help but recognize former Commissioner Charlie Hales, who certainly, without Charlie's leadership, we probably wouldn't have our first streetcar lines. But Commissioner Adams, now Mayor Adams, has picked up that mantle and run with it. So it's been a great exercise, and it will pay dividends. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, this was a good project when Sam originally brought it forward to council. It's now a critical project because of the economy and putting people back to work and family wage jobs and health benefits. So the timing none of us could have predicted would land in the deepest recession that this city has ever known. But I am just thrilled that the contract went to a local manufacturer. It's the kind of thing that I try very hard to do more of. And as anybody knows, it's a very difficult thing to have public projects done by local manufacturers, but this is such a success. I hope we can find ways to emulate this in the future on a variety of projects. So my hat's off to you, Sam. You did a great job. I appreciate it. Aye.
Thank you. Fritz.
I wanted to note that the Oregon Department of Transportation awarded a grant in the amount of $20 million for this project. So all the citizens of Oregon are helping to pay for this, and Portland is taking the lead once again on helping our economy and helping the entire economy of the United States, and we appreciate that. I also commend Mayor Adams and all of our public and private partners for adding value to the streetcar program by fostering this local manufacturing of streetcars. This is so much better than importing streetcars from Europe in so many ways. Aye.
Fish?
When I came first, it was easier to speak, but now that I'm fourth, everything has been said. I should probably just associate myself with the remarks and shut up.
I bet that won't stop you, though.
So I will take my 10 pages of prepared remarks and put them on diet. I want to just recognize my friend, Senator Rick Metzger. When I first came to Oregon, I met Rick in another capacity, which was he was one of the leaders that saved the Hollywood Theater in my neighborhood. So thank you, Rick, for all of your great work.
What about that?
To Chair Peterson, we have a chance to work together on lots of things through Metro and through our park systems. Nice to see you. And Hank Ashforth and Mayor Adams, congratulations for your leadership on this issue. This morning, we celebrated Intertwine, which is a notion that says that we can have a great system of parks and trails and natural areas on a regional basis. But the stumbling block was we weren't acting as a region to get it done. And now that later today, we're celebrating another milestone, which is the region working together on transportation challenges. And while we talk a lot about the future being in regionalism, these are examples of concretely what it means and how it benefits our people. So I'm delighted to join in all of the praise for this effort. Again, Mayor Adams, thank you for your leadership, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to add just a few more thank yous. Rick Gustafson, Portland Streetcar, the entire Portland Streetcar Board, the Bureau of Transportation. I'm lucky to get up every morning and work with the smartest transportation bureau, the most innovative transportation bureau in America, and this just reinforces that. And finally, I want to thank my staff, Tom Miller, Warren Jimenez, but especially Shoshana Oppenheim and Catherine Charlo for all your great work. This has been a long, long road to get here today, but I am pleased that that we've been successful. Aye. Can you please please call the roll for the next one?
974.
Thank you.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 974 is approved. Can you please read the title for regular ordinance 968?
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District to provide enhanced maintenance of the Portland Transit Mall and the Light Rail Transit Loop segment.
This is another example of intergovernmental public-private partnership. Who would like to go first? Mr. Gardner?
I'll start. My name is Don Gardner. I'm representing the Office of Transportation. What we have today is an IGA with TriMet to provide for enhanced security and cleaning on the Transit Mall. What's unique about this particular agreement is that it took us about a year to develop it. It was the private sector were big participants in the whole process of what the maintenance standards should be on the mall, what they expected for cleanliness, for security, and they've contributed to the program, both cash, in-kind services, and support. What this IGA will do is we will transfer $800,000 approximately to TriMet. TriMet will take responsibility for cleaning and security on the mall. They will then contract, we expect, with Portland Mall Management Incorporated, which is a private nonprofit that was set up to manage the ongoing activities on the mall. PMMI, and Doug is here to represent them. He can give you more, but they've contracted with Central City Concern to actually do the cleaning. And they use, we were using Wackenhut, which was on the TriMet contract, but I think they're going to use the downtown PBI program for the security services. The other thing that's unique about this program is it's the first time that we've actually set down and set aside money for the long-term future maintenance of the mall. One of the questions that we, or problems we had was that maintenance dollars are always tight. They get deferred. And the mall, before we rebuilt it, was in pretty bad shape. This now has a program to put every year, we put money in a major maintenance reserve account to help take care of the intersections, the paving, the street lights, and the poles.
Thank you, Mr. Gardner. Mr. Oblitz.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Doug Oblitz, today representing Portland Mall Management, Inc. as the acting executive director. This is yet another historic moment. About 6.5 years ago, I came before the council and talked about the idea of a three-legged stool for the Portland Mall Revitalization Project. And the three legs of the stool were the infrastructure, that is the rebuilding of the mall. The second piece was a development strategy to bring new development to the mall. And the third piece was the concept at the time of private sector stewardship of the mall for the long term. And here we are, 6.5, almost 7 years later, having accomplished all three things. The infrastructure is now largely in place, but for a little bit of shelter glass and a few pieces of art, and the light rail trains will start running next month. The development piece has happened at many levels, small and large along the mall. Many of you are familiar with our block by block program, which has been a storefront signage and lighting improvement program, and we also have a lot of new development along the mall and more coming. The last piece is this idea of the private sector assuming responsibility for maintenance of a very important public facility. And this is a one-of-a-kind operation in the United States, a cooperative agreement between the City of Portland, the transit agency TriMet, and the private sector to assure that our new transit mall stays in an as-constructed condition for the long term. We have a very active private board, Portland Mall Management, Inc. board, that will be working closely with the City and TriMet to assure that not only the cleaning and security at an enhanced level are carried out, but also the maintenance of our brand new sunset brick intersections, street light poles, street trees, street furniture, artwork are all maintained and kept in a first-rate condition for the long term. We're very excited. I'm here today also representing Scott Andrews, the president of PMMI, say we're very excited to take over responsibility and to follow through on this important initiative. So thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions from council? Well, Doug, I just want, it not to go unnoticed that you've been at this for almost 7 years, you and Scott, and putting the partnership together has been very challenging. You and Scott have definitely, the private sector contribution to this wouldn't have happened without your involvement, and this is a very unique partnership. So I just wanted to personally thank you for all your efforts and all the great efforts of Mr. Gardner and the PBOT team. Thank you. Anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign up.
Anyone wishes to testify on Council Calendar Item 968? All right, this is a non-emergency ordinance and moves to a second reading next week. Can you please read the title for second reading of Ordinance 969?
Authorize the renaming of 39th Avenue within the City of Portland to Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard.
Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Sorry. Well, I want to say that I've learned a lot about Cesar E. Chavez over the last couple of years, much more than I ever really knew, which probably all I ever really knew was the grape boycott. But through this process, I've learned that he truly was a great American, a civil rights leader, a labor leader who rightfully deserves to be placed among the pantheon of iconic civil rights leaders, such as Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks, who we've honored with street namings in our city. The process set up to consider the street renaming has been unprecedented. Not only does it follow our city code to the letter, which is not the case necessarily with some prior street namings, follows the letter of the city code, but was augmented by four of the five council members sitting here today last August when we adopted a process that included a panel of historians to review and consider candidate streets. The auditor's office conducted polls. We had neighborhood meetings in every affected area. I think this process is really, as I said, unprecedented and unparalleled. So I realize some people may not be happy with the outcome, but I hope no one will say this process wasn't a thorough and outstanding one. And I give credit to Mayor Adams, who brought this process proposal to the council last August to adopt. And it's been followed and faithfully executed by all the parties involved, including the Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard Committee. They've gone through all the hoops, gathered the signatures, and have run according to the process that we set forth for them. One of the many lessons I've learned while on the City Council is that change is often difficult. Change, however, is inevitable to a growing city such as ours. And the diversity of America will continue to bring change to our lives. I've struggled with how to respect the interests of neighbors who do not support the change, while also doing something I ultimately believe makes Portland a better place. In taking this office, I've never shied away from making a difficult decision, and some will perceive this final vote as having winners and losers. But ultimately, we are all winners when our minds are open to new perspectives and cultures. Portland's Latino community continues to grow, and these members of our community deserve the recognition that Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard will garner. It's time to honor Cesar Chavez with a street name and to introduce Cesar Chavez's work to a new generation of people who are not familiar with him and his greatness. So after careful and respectful consideration of all of the input, I am pleased to support the name change. Aye.
Leonard?
I think it's appropriate to have a discussion about whether or not we should be changing street names, but it's not relevant in the context of those that aren't happy with the outcome of the current code that we created. Because one doesn't like the result of an established process is not a legitimate reason to change the process for that result. So I look forward in the future to have a discussion about the whole topic of street change, street naming changes with the council. But it is not appropriate to do that in this context. As Commissioner Saltzman just put well, we designed that process. We said to the proponents of Cesar Chavez Boulevard, you need to use that process, and they did. And I for one, would have to say that for three of us, at least, that have been through this for, I don't know if it's been 2 years or 20 years, but it could be either. It feels like 20 that we've been through this process. It has been, some might find this odd to say, a fascinating perspective to sit and observe kind of on a micro level the cultural issues of the United States that have been so intertwined with this debate. More than once, I've wanted to write back to somebody, but I've restrained myself when they characterize Mr. Chavez by his ancestry, that is as relevant as accusing me of doing something and then referring to me as a Scot or an Irish or German, which are all my ancestries. The part that has been the hardest for me in this debate to remain neutral about is references to Mr. Chavez's heritage. He's an American. And I have, quite frankly, not reacted well to others that have referred to him other than as an American. I have a long history in fighting for worker rights in my entire adult life. And I have been intimately familiar with Cesar Chavez and his work my entire adult life, including the great boycott of the 60s when I was in high school. I revere him not as an immigrant who stood up for Hispanic farm workers, but rather as a great American who fought for worker rights. And what's been fascinating about this debate, and it was interesting, if not coincidental, this morning we honored refugees, immigrants, and some refugees who became American citizens, is I got invited last Cinco de Mayo to represent the city at the swearing-in of a number of new Americans down at Cinco de Mayo. And it was on my calendar, and I showed up, as we all do, for events without a lot of forethought. And as I sat on the stage, you know, and I was reminded this morning with the folks that were here, it impacted me in a very real way that each one of us in our life were either directly sworn in as Americans or have directly descended from those who were sworn in as Americans, except if you happen to be 100% Native American. With that exception, every one of us in this room is either an immigrant or sworn in from or descended from immigrants who were sworn in as Americans. And that was a good thing for me to see. And I thought about this debate during that discussion that how quickly after the generations come after our original forebears arrived in this country, we forget that. And we characterize people in a not always flattering way who are immigrants, not remembering that in the 1840s and 50s when the great Irish immigration occurred, there was just as much discrimination towards Irish immigrants as there are today towards Mexican immigrants or whoever happens to be the wave of immigrants in different parts of our history. And we all have forgot that. So this debate, I think for me, pointed out the need for each of us to understand better each of our perspectives. I mean, I think that, some in the Cesar Chavez committee could have understood better some of those that were opposed to the change, and I think some who are opposed to the change could have been more thoughtful about what the Cesar Chavez committee was fighting for. But in the end, my decision is based on a couple things. The process, as Commissioner Saltzman said, was delineated by us. Mayor Adams, I think, very thoughtfully insisted that process be used, and it was. And in the end, I think Cesar Chavez is a man who represents, for a number of people, myself included, a person who was willing to put his all on the line to fight for working people. And there's nothing I respect more than that. Aye.
Fritz.
I've been very impressed with the way that Portlanders have conducted this debate. And as commissioner in charge of neighborhood involvement, I'm very happy that so many residents and businesses, business owners on and near 39th and many citywide feel so strongly connected to the street that they know as home as well as 39th. I'm also impressed that so many other Portlanders want to establish a new connection with the street we now know as 39th Avenue in naming it for a great American citizen. Thank you so much for participating. I've considered and responded to hundreds of contacts from Portlanders on this issue, some from as far away as Prineville in Germany. People really care about this, and I am grateful for your passion for our city. I realize that with my vote today, I will disappoint thousands of citizens no matter which way I vote. But I don't vote by guessing which position on a topic is more popular or by evaluating which testifiers were nice or adversarial. I try to figure out whether voting for or against a proposal better serves the long-term public good and the best interests of the city. Use of the code process doesn't ensure a favorable outcome. It does mean that the council should vote on this motion, yes or no, rather than naming or renaming something else, as some have suggested. And the process may not be perfect, but it exists to provide guidance in making a decision for this purpose. I believe the process has given me all the information and public input that I need to make a decision on the merits of the renaming request. Ultimately, I think back to the renaming of Union Avenue for Martin Luther King Jr. And that was 20 years ago. I was fairly new to Portland at the time, and people were very angry about that, and the process had felt that there hadn't been due process. And there was a lot of rightful indignation about that. And yet, 20 years later, I am so glad that we have a street named for Martin Luther King Jr. And I just read recently a Portland Tribune article written a couple of years ago about people who are moving to that street because of the name. I didn't know about Cesar Chavez before this process, and because of the street renaming request, I know a lot more. And we just had a house guest over the past few days who lives in L.A., and she mentioned that the reason she knows about Cesar Chavez is because there is a street named for him, and she asked her mother about that. I believe that in the future, in 50 years, which is really how I'm required to think about the long-term public good, I believe that Portlanders will be more appreciative of having a street named for Cesar Chavez than having a street named 39th. I believe that adding the name of Cesar Chavez to an important and beautiful street running north and south through the east side serves the long-term public good and the best interests of the city as a whole. I've come to the conclusion that the values and benefits of renaming outweigh the considerable impacts to current residents and business owners on and near 39th and the cost incurred by taxpayers, and I vote aye.
Fish.
I, too, would first like to acknowledge all the parties that have participated in this, what I think has been a great debate. And I believe that the process, since I joined the council, and has been marked more by respect than by confrontation. Like Amanda, I've received hundreds, if not thousands, of emails and letters from Portlanders. I've had a chance to read each one, and I've listened carefully to all the testimony. It pleases me greatly that there is a consensus here today, and that is that we should honor Cesar E. Chavez, a national hero worthy of an appropriate public honor. Like Randy, for the 20 years before I served on this body, I, as a civil rights lawyer and a labor lawyer, was intimately familiar with Mr. Chavez's work and admired him greatly. And I'm pleased that through this debate, all of Portland now understands his great work in support of workers' rights and civil rights, environmental justice, equality, peace, and nonviolence. Now, locally, many people who I respect have proposed in the course of this discussion that we should name a bridge, a park, a school, or a building in honor of Cesar Chavez. That's not the issue, actually, before us today. We actually don't have a formal process for inviting the public to participate in namings of some other places like bridges, buildings, and in some cases parks, and perhaps that's an oversight we should address in the future. The issue before us today, however, is a street naming proposal, and I disagree with those who suggest that we should change the rules in the middle of the process. The process was set up I think it was done thoughtfully, and I think it has been followed. No matter how any of us feel about this issue, street naming is one way that Portland historically has honored those who have made a difference in our lives at the local and national level. And the honor roll includes Dr. Martin Luther King and Bill Nadeau and Rosa Parks. Today, I believe our charge is twofold. One, to determine if the process set forth in the code for street naming has been followed. And two, to determine if a street naming is in the best interest of the city as a whole. On the first question, I believe the process set forth in the code has indeed been followed. Now, some have criticized the process. If so, then I believe that's a reflection not on the applicants, but on the drafters of our code. And for this reason, we should perhaps revisit the code at some point in the future. But the answer to the second question for me is more complicated. How do we as a council make judgments about what is in the best interest of the city as a whole? What weight should be given to the citizens who live and work on 39th? In what way is a street naming beneficial to our great city? As I've thought about it, one way that I have used to answer that question is to ask another question. And that is, what kind of Portland do we want for our children and for our grandchildren? Streets play many important roles in our city. They connect neighborhoods and people. They help us navigate. They mark where we live and where we work, and they honor people who achieved great things. Each of us, rightly so, believes that where we live and where we work has significance. Unique among the five of us up here, I live on Northeast 39th Avenue. My wife and I bought the very first home that we ever owned as a couple on 39th Avenue. And we are raising two wonderful and challenging children on 39th Avenue. For my family, we would be honored to live on Cesar Chavez Boulevard, partly to honor him, but also to honor those who will never have a street named after them. My mother-in-law, Carmen Gomez, was born in Cordova in the south of Spain. And she came to this country with a seventh grade education. She did not speak a word of English. Not one single woman in her family had ever attended high school. Today, her eldest daughter, Patricia, my wife, is a professor of history at Portland State University. And her granddaughter, my daughter, Maria, is not only fluent in Spanish, which allows her to communicate with her grandmother, but is the beneficiary of a marvelous Spanish immersion program in our public schools. I believe, personally and in my professional seat here, that a street naming can help make Portland a better place, one that is more inclusive, more welcoming, and more respectful of other traditions. And as a parent, I think a lot how my wife and I, can transmit these values to our children. And one way is through the symbolism of a street renaming. Cesar Chavez once said that a symbol is an important thing. He explained, that is why we chose an Aztec eagle. It gives pride, and when people see it, they know it means dignity. I would venture to guess that this is how the proponents feel today about the proposed street naming. We live in a city with a growing Latino community. Yet there is not one single street in our great city that honors their heritage. Today we can change that. Chavez once said that we cannot seek achievement for ourselves and forget about progress and prosperity for our community. He said our ambitions must be broad enough to include the aspirations and needs of others for their sakes and for our own. This city has rightly chosen to honor Bill Nadeau, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Rosa Parks. Surely our ambitions are broad enough to include the aspirations of those who would honor a migrant farm worker with an eighth grade education who changed the course of history. My mother-in-law, Carmen Gomez, will never have a street named for her. But in naming a street after Cesar Chavez, we can inspire our children and grandchildren to follow the path that she and Mr. Chavez blazed. I'm proud to vote aye.
Adams.
Well, Portlanders have had a right to petition their city government to change the name of streets from the founding of the city. Those considerations have always been controversial. This particular process was the most rigorous of any that we know of. But as Commissioner Fritz said, successfully navigating through that process to this room does not guarantee success in this room on the proposal. I want to thank the Save 39th Avenue folks who testified in opposition at our hearing for the thoughtful nature of their concerns, for the thoughtful nature and respectful nature that they expressed their concerns. This really was a process for which Portlanders can feel proud of. I also want to allay people's concerns, and by chance, it actually is well illustrated in this week's council calendar. Our top priority is to get Portlanders back to work. And this morning, you saw evidence of that in the creation, helping to create a new industry. This afternoon, we will be considering the clean energy works that seeks to create yet another industry. And tomorrow, we will be considering the city's first economic development strategy in a decade. So we are focused on that. But it is also important, for the reasons that my colleagues have stated here today, to also consider this issue very thoughtfully. And for me, I think it is a fact, as has been already stated, that the Latino, Mexican American, Hispanic, the great diversity of that community is not recognized in a significant symbol of the city. And although the population, the percentage of the population has grown to about 14%, through the entire history of this city, the Latino community, Latino Americans have made significant contributions to get where we are today. The vote, the choice before me is to vote to continue that omission or to address it. And I'm voting to address it and to give not only Cesar Chavez, but the Latino community the visible symbol that they deserve. Aye. Ordinance is approved. Carla, can you please read the title for, Council Item 970 is going to be moved to
Thursday afternoon,
unless there's objection. So moved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 971?
Authorize acquisition of vehicles for use by the city bureaus at $51,300.
Staff, are you here to testify on this matter? All right, John, come on up.
Hey, good morning, Mayor and Council.
Just keep going.
Today. Yeah, here we go. The item before you today seeks to add a couple of rapid response vehicles for the police bureau. One rental that's over 6 months for PBOT maintenance, and also the third one is a little small trailer for us at City Fleet. So those are the items that we request adding to the fleet.
Any discussion from Council? All right. Anyone wish to testify on Council Calendar Item 971? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 971 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 972?
Adopt revised city commercial driver's license drug and alcohol policy and driver's education materials.
Good morning, Ms. Canwit. How are you?
I am fine, Mayor.
Can you please tell us what we're considering today?
I certainly will. Mayor and Commissioners, Anna Canwit of Bureau of Human Resources. With me is Maureen Weber, also a staff member with the Bureau of Human Resources, and the ordinance, and Lori Kraut, the City Attorney's Office, who assisted us in this policy. This is the ordinance before you, and Maureen Weber will go into it with a little more detail, is to update the city's federally mandated drug and alcohol testing program for employees who have a commercial driver's license. We have been working on this with the impacted bureaus for quite some time, and the policy has not been updated for a very long time. We are here before you today to authorize the new policy and to answer any questions you have. And Maureen will provide a little more background on this.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. I'm Maureen Weber with the Bureau of Human Resources and Labor Relations, and I administrate the drug and alcohol testing program for commercial driver's license holders at the City of Portland. As Anna said, I believe we first created the policy in 1993. Yep. It's been about 15 years since it was created, and this is the first revision. So during that time, there have been some changes to federal law and some changes to the way we administrate it within the city. So with the help from the city attorney's office, we've just updated the policy to bring it in line with the way we're actually operating. And in addition to the policy, there is a manual of driver education materials that goes out to the employees that explains the testing process and gives them some additional materials, and that's been updated as well.
Any discussion or questions from council?
Have there been any concerns from employees?
Not so far. I don't know how much of this has been disseminated to the employees. I've been telling the unions and the bureau contacts for the last several months that this was being done. The changes are actually already in effect. I mean, basically the documents are just now catching up to the way the program's actually being run, so there shouldn't be any surprises or anything in here that the employees will find startling.
Any concerns from the unions?
Not so far.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone that, unless there's additional council questions or discussion, is there anyone that wishes to testify on Emergency Ordinance 972? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 972 is approved. Can you please read the title, second reading for Council Calendar Item 973?
Create a non-represented classification of Senior Treasury Analyst.
Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 973 is approved. Can you please read the title for Purchasing Report 975?
Accept bid of Moore Excavation for the Selwood Sewer Interceptor Project for $1,966,370.
Good local contractor. Mr. Baer.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a recommendation to award the Selwood Sewer Interceptor Project for BES to Moore Excavation, who is a local contractor, in the amount of $1,966,370. In the invitation to bid, we identified 14 divisions of work as potential minority women emerging small business contracting, of which they've awarded $223,900 to subcontracts, and 17.8% of that amount is being awarded to minority women emerging small businesses. So, and I think we have a representative from both Moore and BES here in case there are questions.
Questions or discussion from council? Commissioner Fritz?
That seems very low for women, minorities, emerging small businesses.
When we went through, we reviewed their good faith effort requirements. They met all of our standards for doing that. As I indicated, we identified certain divisions of work. They're going to be self-performing the majority of that. They contacted a number of contractors it's sort of the result is what we have at this point.
It is low.
Yeah.
Additional council discussion? All right. This is a purchasing report. Do I hear a move to accept?
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. Is there anyone that wishes to testify on council calendar item purchasing report 975? Carla, can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
We need more minority and women-owned and emerging business participation. But aye. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, Council Calendar Item 976?
Authorize the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services to execute an agreement with ATC Transportation, Inc. as part of the Portsmouth Force Main Project Number E06902.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. As part of the Portsmouth Force Main Project in North Portland, the main alignment crosses property owned by ATC Transportation and will impact a portion of their parking lot. To mitigate for the loss of parking during construction, BES will make available to ATC a temporary parking area on city property. This will require a lease agreement and indemnification language that needs to be executed as soon as possible. So I urge the Council's support.
And there's a, why don't we go ahead and, isn't 977 very similar?
Yes.
So why don't you read the Council Calendar item for Emergency Ordinance 977?
Authorize the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services to execute agreements with Daimler Trucks North America, LLC, as part of the Portsmouth Force Main Project Number E06902.
Is there any council discussion on 976 or 977? Is there anyone that wishes to testify on 976 or 977? These are emergency ordinances. Caller, can you please call the roll?
976, Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 976 is approved. Can you please call the roll for 977?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Yeah, aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 977 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 978?
Amend intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality for regulatory oversight related to contamination management for various capital improvement and operating projects.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Mayor, I would ask that this be returned to my office.
Unless there are objections, 977 is returned to Commissioner Saltzman's office. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance 978?
No, that was.
Sorry, 979. We're moving faster than I thought.
Amend contract with Parametrics for additional work and compensation for the Southeast 83rd Avenue Wastewater Pump Station Project Number E08376.
Second reading only. Can you please call the roll on 979?
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 979 is approved. Can you please read the title, second reading, on Council Calendar Item 980?
Authorize a settlement for $15,300 in utility license fees with Verizon Northwest, Inc.
Can you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thanks to all the good staff work on this. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Good work, Commissioner Fritz. Aye. 980 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, Council Calendar Item 981?
Amend the South Park Block 5 support agreement with the Portland Parks Foundation to allow the foundation to provide a marker identifying the park not to exceed $27,000. And allow the Director of Portland Parks and Recreation to negotiate and execute any further amendments to the support agreement.
Can you please call the roll for Council Calendar Item 981?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Well, I want to thank again the Parks Foundation for stepping up to do good work. This is a model of public-private partnership, and I also want to welcome Rich Brown, who is the new chair of the Portland Parks Foundation. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 981 is approved. We're recessed until 2 p.m.
Yeah. At 2 o'clock, we're going to honor the Elks. Is that right?
Ooh.
The what?
Because the 2 o'clock has been rescheduled to July 22nd, so we have a 2:30 time certain. My understanding is that we're acknowledging the Elks leadership at 2 and then adjourning for the 2:30. Is that right?
Okay.
So we will be back at 2, is your point.
I think we have a brief presentation to thank the Elks.
Who's doing that?
I'll take the lead on.
Okay.
Also, Mayor, with the 927 communications item.
Oh, is Mr. Tucker still here?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
We are out of adjournment, or out of recess. Coming up, Mr. Tucker. Please give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Okay. My name's Eric Tucker.
I'd like to relay some experiences that I had with the Cascade Behavioral Healthcare, the property known as 310 Northwest Flanders.